Hackers. To the hackers and the crackers. I see in binary, I speak source code. Step on my toes, I'll post a million JPEGs of you in a fag pose. In your digital stance, getting firewalled ho. Cause I'm riding the net in my 6-4. I was a dick with my 56. Now with my cable, I'm able to get that stable. On the out, my name is Ace and I'm a Leo. On the digital highway, my name is Neo and I'm a hero. In a flash, I'll school you on burning Dreamcast. You need some ISOs? Let me do my hard drive rifle. Our exchange you could never stifle. In a digital hug, you just caught the love bug. I bootlegged your CD. I caused the fight between Un and Jay-Z. Cause CG, it's all gonna be free. Whether we take it by force or we take it nicely. You feel that rattle in your bones? When I tell you we just hacked Dow Jones. And NASDAQ leaves you flat on your back. Cause I am he who loves to hack and crack. Cause I am he who loves to hack and crack. Dedicated to the hackers and the crackers. Serial code, source code, ISO, RAM, SIP, SIS. Dedicated to the hackers and...
I love my binary revolution radio.
I love my Radio Freak America.
You got your freak in my revolution.
You got your revolution in my Freak America. That's some tasty binary revolution Radio Freak America.
With Stank Dog as usual and with dual parallel special freak sauce.
Hello everybody and welcome to Binary Revolution Radio. I am Stank Dog and with me as always...
as always?
Wait a
cool.
minute. Wait a minute. Not as always.
I wish I could be on your show all the time. That would be so much fun.
Well, you know, I wish you could be on the show all the time too, but...
Does that's
why we
have to take over RFA so I could just like be on it and bin rev and just.
You know, what if we were to trade shows? Like, what is that Trading Spaces TV show or whatever?
That's a curse.
We'll take over each other's show for a month or something just for the fun of it.
That would be fun. No, but I just want to you know, like be a guest and just have fun, you know, and then get to listen to stuff.
It is fun, isn't it? Isn't it a lot funner?
No stress. I don't know if anybody noticed. There was no RFA last week. It just, there's no way it couldn't happen. So
what was up with all that?
Well, just shit going down, you know. Like, and I'm going to quote Bland here. Life kicks you in the nuts sometimes, and I wasn't wearing my cup. So this week there will be a big badass RFA 76. So I think our track record's pretty good. We've bought one week at least.
Well, yeah, we always try. If we can help it, we don't miss. We cover for each other. If you're out of town, you know, paying off your pimp bill and all that stuff,
right.
We cover. But sometimes real life happens. I mean, you know, that's actually one of the big topics we're going to talk about today is making a show.
Ooh.
And, you know, that's how it's very appropriate that you and I are on here talking about this. So, you know, that is one of the things to keep in mind. Real life will occasionally kick you in the balls.
Yeah, what a great topic.
Yep, and you don't have to, we said this in the form, you don't have to, what was Eddie Murphy said, you don't have to kick balls, you can just graze balls.
No doubt,
you
man.
Can just graze nuts and nuts will hurt 5 minutes later. Wait a minute, did you just hit me? Was that my, oh!
Oh man, so many times I've gotten myself, it sucks.
Oh man, I hate it when that happens.
Yeah, man.
Anyway, let's jump into some housekeeping. I normally go through the emails that I got about this point in the show, but I really only had one email to speak of before I lost my laptop, which is where I kept all the BinRev. I kept it separately on my laptop, so it'd be mobile with me.
How?
My laptop.
You lost your laptop?
Yeah, it's a. I haven't narrowed it down for sure, but actually, my friend Jen Ryan and I are going to work on it here in the next week and try to salvage it. Because I know that if and when I take it back into Best Buy, yes, it's still under warranty, but you know what they're going to do with the damn thing. Reformat the hard drive, reinstall everything, and I really want to try to salvage the shit that's on there first.
Mm, so you had it all backed up, though, right?
Well, you know about that. Funny story, that. Well, not so much funny as sad and pathetic, but...
Uh-oh.
You know, I kept backups, of course, of the articles. I did not lose any of the articles from BinRev 1.2, and I had gotten one or two articles for BinRev 1.3, so I, unfortunately, am going to have to request that if anybody did send me submissions for 1.3, I don't know if I'm going to be able to recover them or not. I think I had only gotten one, but if you did send in anything, and even if you didn't, now is the time to start sending in for 1.3. We are actually proofing 1.2 right now. We're proofreading it, making grammar corrections, stuff like that. Dual started on it. I started on it. about halfway through it, and, you know, we got typos, we got things to take care of, but it is almost done. So we are ready to move on to 1.3. So if somebody has article submissions, art, poetry, whatever you want to send, by all means, letters@benrev.com. If you want to send something into the letters, if you have comments on previous issues, send that in.
Two is awesome.
It's I think it's better than one. I'm really proud that, you know, we work really hard to put issue one out. And issue two, I think, is once again better.
Oh, big time.
And I say the same about the radio show, you know. It's tough and difficult to get the hang of it and get in the swing of things. And, you know, people should have a lot of appreciation for RFA being around for more than 75 episodes. So it really takes time. And, you know, I think, personally, that we get better every episode. And that's the goal, you know. If we can continue to grow and evolve, you know, that's a great thing.
It is. 70, no doubt. 76 freaking episodes. That's like a year and a half.
Dude, you're 25 away.
I had no idea. When we started doing it, we started the numbering scheme, and Rex said, well, it'll handle everything up to, you know, 99 apps, you know. And son of it, we damn well might make it to 100 episodes. Unbelievable.
Well, we're 25 away, so let's see. 4, 25.
I've got some wood here.
Yeah, that's, excuse me?
No, never mind.
Did you just say you had some wood?
Let's move on with the show.
God, I love having you on the show. I don't even have to do outtakes because,
yes,
you know, I can just take what's your stuff from the show and use it. I did have one email to mention that I did save, and that was from Jaga and Georgia. He is mirroring Ben Rev Radio, which is great, really great. So if you go to jawga.com/benrev.htm, jawga.com, he has mirrors of the episodes there, along with, of course, mirrors of RFA. And I think that's all that I was able to salvage this time. Oh, I need to request Hack and Slash, who is our official notes taker. I need this show notes over again because that is one of the things, unfortunately, that I lost. You know what hurt more than anything is that, again, that was my mobile. That's what I took around with me. That's the point of a laptop, duh. So that's what I did a lot of my articles on, a lot of my typing, a lot of my on-the-go stuff, because I do research out in the field and type the stuff up while it was fresh on my mind, while it was there. And I lost some great articles. I was working on a specific article for Frack, and it was coming along so well, and I lost it. And actually, I can't mention it on the air, but you and I have talked about this offline before. We laughed about my, I can't talk, we can't go into it now, but
right.
We talked about it before, and you laughed about me hacking this particular site.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Okay, good. One other thing I wanted to mention, too, is our distributed.net team that I always come on and try to get everybody involved in. We are up to 19 members, dude.
Wow.
19 people. We have been, you know, we started off when the new project just started a little while back. We started off, you know, one of the first groups in there. We started off real high. And, of course, all the power teams, the Dutch Power Cows, and these people with the heavy metal come along and pushed us down slowly. Well, we finally hit a point where we are hovering around the 350 to 400 range. But as more people sign up and more groups start to grow, we were kind of slowly sliding off to the top 400. We were down to like 390-something. We have 19 people now, and we're actually moving back up. I think I checked today, and we were around 370-something again.
Yeah.
We're gaining a few places each day, so that's very, very cool.
I should sign up, huh?
Yeah, maybe so, but you're paranoid that they're going to do something to your computer or something.
So,
maybe that's what happened to my laptop. Maybe that's what killed my laptop.
Posed it. You know what you need? You know, you say you're going out and doing all this stuff. You need, like, a notebook, dude. That's my portable data collection device. The freak notebook.
Well, no, it's not gadgety enough. I need something gadgety.
Okay.
I have the PDA, and it's a lame PDA, but it's basically a glorified notebook. It just lets me type it in. And I carry that with me pretty much everywhere I go. And the cell phone, of course, I can. If it's just a phone number or something, like Project Walmart Freedom, I sent you those numbers, and I sent Bland an interesting number the other day. I don't know if he'll use it. I just type those into the cell and save them for later, so, you know, for really quick stuff. And you actually, you know what? We the topic we were going to talk about, and the reason we're together for this, is to talk about doing a radio show. And like you said, we are above 75, 76 episodes, Radio Freak America. Like you said, you started that with, well, why don't you go ahead and tell the story, give a little history, because you know what, it's new. It's 76 is like, it's not like a big magic 100 landmark, but that's been around for a long time. And tell the story of where it came from and how it evolved and what it is today.
Sit down, boys and girls. Well, Bert, let's tell everybody this. We're doing this because there's been a lot of, people have been asking a lot, you know, how do I make a show? I'd like to make a show. How do you do it? Things like that. What does it take? So we're talking about it now.
And we did talk about this on an episode of RFA quite a while back, though, so it's kind of a refresher touching back on it again.
Exactly. It's been quite a while. This is a different show as well, so this is just fine. And people are continuing to make shows and still want to know how to do it. Here's the story of how RFA came to be. I was at a 2600 meeting with Condor and Rax. It was just the three of us. And I had an idea, actually, listening to HackerMind. I love HackerMind and Off the Hook. But there just wasn't enough. I wanted more. So I said, what the hell? I want to make a show. Because I wanted more, I was going to do it, right? I'm going to sit around and hope somebody makes a show. No, we made a show. Proposed it to Rax and Condor. Rax came up with the name Radio Freak America. You know, freaking and Radio Free America. And we started doing the show. I think it was February 2002. And it was a definite learning curve. You know, we started, I started recording the show. And I still record the show, but I started recording it on a Pentium 133.
Yuck.
Yeah, that's what I had. That was my box, man.
Yeah.
And a crappy sound card and a cheap mic. And just, it was a learning experience from then on. I'm still learning things, still how to make the show better and technology. And
I'll bet you're still using the same crappy mic, too, aren't you?
I am.
Yeah. So, hey, I got the same crappy mic. I just paid for it recently, that's all. It's still the cheap, crappy mic.
Yeah, so and sometimes it pays. Now, I know, when do you want to start getting into the technology? What do you want to do? You want to talk? Hold on.
You know, first of all, something else I wanted to let everybody know. Didn't you actually start? Because what we do is, obviously, you're a long way away from me, and we're on the phone.
Right.
Didn't you start doing it there locally? Was there no phone involved, or were you on the phone in the first episode?
No, it's always been over the phone, because I'm in another southwestern state from the AZ-2600 crew. So it was all, you know, that's where all my friends are, basically. So I would do the show here, and I'd have to, you know, get in touch with them there. I tell you what, let's talk people first.
Okay.
Okay? People. You know, you have to have people, right, that can speak to have a radio freaking show. So the people first have to have a desire, right? Of course, if you come up with the idea and you're going to be the, quote, host, you naturally have the desire. The other people have to as well, because it takes a lot of work. The brunt of the work is going to be on the host, the person recording the show, mixing and streaming and whatever. But the other people, it's going to take a lot of work for them as well. It's going to take time. It's going to take dedication. It's going to take sacrifice. So you have to have the people. You have to have good people. You have to have people that can speak loudly, use their radio voice. You have to have people that are energetic. You have to have people that are knowledgeable, right? People that actually want to do it. That's one of the biggest parts is that, hey, man, I want to do that. That's fun. That sounds like a blast. Let's do it. So people are very, very important. Now, the location of those people, again, I'm in another state, so I've got to do some long-distance calling. And that's how we record the show, just like we're doing it now. Stink and I are in another state. Get a good calling plan. Quest right now has some unlimited long-distance plans. I think other telcos have the same, even if it is an introductory, you know, a year or whatever. Sign up for those. That'll save you a lot of money. Calling cards are always an option. Sometimes there are people I want to get on the show that don't have long distance or don't have a landline. We'll talk about that in a little bit. So you go buy some cheap phone cards. You can go to some of the big warehouse stores, and they have their cheap phone cards. And you can give out numbers so people can call you. Pay phones are always an option. Well, I'll tell you what, so there's your long-distance calling. That's what you have to do sometimes. We'll talk about the technology in a little bit, but
And generally, just as a note, cell phones don't usually work so well.
Yeah, well, I tell you what, why don't we jump into the technology right now and talk about the phones that we use. Yes, you're right. Cell phones do not work well. They're crackly, they break up, you know, coverage is bad here and better, you know, and even crappier over there. So avoid cell phones if you can. Payphones are a good option. Again, if somebody doesn't have a phone, all they have a cell phone, give them a phone card. They can call you. Get a payphone that will accept incoming calls. We've done that before with Mute. You know, he's been on his adventures. We've called him on a payphone. And also, well, it depends, but most of the time, inside domiciles, corded phones are best.
Absolutely.
Well, they're private, right? And second, you usually just get better sound quality. That's not always the case. We've ran into some that are opposite, but most of the time, corded phones are best. For the recording end, now we record. That's another thing. We record, right, Sank?
Right.
Most other people, a lot of other shows are live, right? They mix it and they stream it live.
Right. Now, we record, of course, because...
Well, because if anything...
Well...
bad comes out...
Exactly. The main reason is because, unfortunately, the subject matter does have a certain connotation to it, and we don't want to accidentally put names, numbers, and things like that, even though it's pretty much out there, people who do know us. It's not like, you know... But we don't want to just come right out and give it, and especially if we have a guest on or something like that. We definitely don't want to be in a situation where somebody gets in trouble or somebody doesn't think about what they're saying, and then later on, oh my gosh, I can't believe I did that. I can't believe I said that.
Right.
Now, we have edit time. We have time to remove that. Now, for the most part, this is a one-take deal. We've got this down where we pretty much just run right through, little or no editing, unless, you know, one of those type situations comes up.
Yeah, and you know, it's not even our privacy, and of course the guest privacy as well, but sometimes it's just the content, you know, like sometimes we don't, what if we get into something touchy or make a call that's, you know, that maybe shouldn't be on the air, you know, or somebody else's privacy, you know, other than the host or the co-hosts or
right.
the guests. So, yeah, that's the main reason why.
Right.
Again, on the recording end, usually a good speakerphone. Doesn't have to be expensive. I'm using a Panasonic speakerphone, and it works really well.
And I'm using a generic VTech, which is a generic Best Buy model phone, 900 megahertz. I'm using the speakerphone part of it, but it is a cordless. I just don't bother using
right.
the handset.
Right.
And if you are on the other end of a show recording, you don't want to just put yourself on speakerphone and talk because you don't really get the clear signal. You only want to use the speakerphone on the recording end.
Exactly. Use the mic.
Right.
A mic on a corded phone. So that's some of the that's the phone part of the hardware. To continue with the hardware.
Hey, you know what? There is one other thing about the phone that we should mention too, and someone's mentioned this before about the number of guests and the number of people on.
Oh, well, yeah.
Now,
very,
you know,
very good point.
Ideally, sound quality-wise, anyway, I personally think two people is the balance. Now, three sounds almost as good, too. Very little loss. But anything more than three, if you're thinking of getting four, five, six people on, you know, you're going to degrade your sound quality just from the technical aspect of it. And
the person recording can three-way somebody else in, and it'll sound good. But if somebody else, then, in chain, three-way somebody else in, it's going to sound crappy in the recording, and people on the phone won't be able to hear each other. So, and that just makes for a crappy show as well. Mm-hmm. Also, con lines usually don't work very well. We have done it, but three people.
The sound quality on the con line especially drops, and people vox each other out, and it's just not a good thing.
It's a cluster.
Yep. Exactly. Hey, I just realized we haven't said the F word, and we're going to make it this whole episode without doing it. What do you think?
Great. Now that you said it.
jinx.
I'm trying my best.
I'm trying. It's hard, but, you know, we gotta practice, man. Seriously.
It's fun, you know?
Of course, every time we talk about the RAAA or the MPAA, it happens.
Yeah, this is like a fun, lighthearted topic that hopefully will inspire people to make a show. Doesn't matter. Make whatever you want. People will listen to it. I guarantee you I want to listen to it. Like blowing this radio. Where's my F2? That's all I want to know.
Oh, dude, I was rolling listening to the top 10 video game chicks. That was,
Mother Brain.
Yeah, the Radio Shack character I think was hilarious. I think that's a great angle. you know, having caricatures on there and different voices and stuff. I thought that was a great idea. Great.
Yeah, totally original. So, Mollusk, where's my F2? Okay. So, we were talking about phone. Yeah, so three ways away. If you're going to make phone calls in, of course, one person, then you three way in the call.
And we did touch on one piece of hardware when we said microphone earlier. We joked about a cheap, crappy microphone. Well, honestly, I bought a higher-end microphone, and it sucked. It really blew chunks. It was horrible. I'm back to a plain old, I think this is $10 maybe I paid for it.
Yep.
Brand new. Plugs right into the sound card. No fancy digital USB. I found this analog microphone to be far superior to the two different USB microphones I used.
I totally concur. I never tried a USB mic, but I did buy like a $20 Sony mic, and it sucked. The levels were so low. I went to the $10 LabTech. Been happy ever since.
Yeah. I have a LabTech. I see the logo on there right now. I don't know what model, but
it's $10. You probably got one free with your computer when you bought it. So.
Yeah, and it'll probably work just fine. You're absolutely right.
So hardware we've covered, phones we've covered, the mic. Let's quickly cover the sound card and the PC.
Well, for myself, you know, I just put this PC together, and we talked about it. I was going through some of the parts on RFA, so I actually have a fairly high-end P4, but like you said earlier, you don't need all that.
No.
What are you using for RFA right now?
Well, like I said, originally, Pentium 133, baby.
And technically, that probably would still work fine.
It would. It takes a long time. It takes a long time to convert and things like that. Mm-hmm. Right now, I've got a P3 1.2. And it's plenty fast. Oh, I'll have this thing forever.
Yeah,
if I can use a Pentium 133 in 2002, I'll be using this till 2030, for crying out loud.
Yeah, you know, basically, this is a good segue into software, because basically, as long as your PC is powerful enough to run the software needed for this, that's really all you need.
Right.
You know, a big disk drive, I recommend a pretty big disk drive, because these sound files can get kind of big. Now, I know you say you clear them off every so often. So far, this is episode 7 we're recording now, and I've been keeping all the originals just in case, you know, just right now I've got some space on the hard drive. I've got a 60-gig hard drive dedicated to this. So once it starts to get, you know, halfway full or something, I'll go back and start deleting some of the old Audacity files.
Well, we'll talk about that when we hit software. Let's touch on sound cards real quick.
Okay.
Before we leave hardware.
Okay.
Originally, I was using a built-in, you know, the integrated sound on a motherboard. Avoid that at all costs. You don't have to spend a lot of money on a sound card, but definitely buy a good Sound Blaster sound card. I'm using a Sound Blaster Live. Pretty inexpensive. It's got boost capabilities. It's a very good card. You know, if you want to spend more on the Audigy or the Exigy or whatever it is, go for it. But just go somewhere in between. Don't do integrated. But you don't have to go high-end either.
Right, and you know, I actually had a Sound Blaster Live card in this originally, and I could not get good levels with it.
Really?
And
mine's rad.
Yeah, I tweaked and configured and tried everything, and I just couldn't get good. So I went to the store, and I bought a generic Mad Dog, I think was the brand name.
Dog.
And it was a 6.1, you know, it was a good sound card, good cheap. You know, prices have dropped so much, and a generic brand. I got this for $20. It's actually on par or better than my Sound Blaster Live.
Okay.
Doesn't have the name, but it's about on par with it. Much cheaper, and that's what I'm using right now, and it works perfectly fine.
It does. It does sound good.
So, you know, $20 on a sound card.
Yeah.
I mean, that's
right
not...
Right now, if you already have a PC, you've spent a whopping $30.
$30, and you may already have a sound card. You probably already have a Sound Blaster Live. So many systems come with that.
Yeah.
So, you know, you might only... And the microphone, if that came with that, you still haven't spent a dime yet.
Exactly.
And now as we move to software, you're still spending a dime.
Here's where you're going to spend nothing.
Zero.
Yeah.
Well, you could, of course. You could spend money and buy different software, but there is so much great open source and free publicly available software that's what we use, and it, you know, it's something we believe in anyway. So we try to make sure people know the options that are out there and show you that we use this. This is a practical use. Yes, I could go buy, I don't know, Liquid Sound, whatever those programs, expensive things are, but...
Take ass, walk, whatever, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. You don't need it. Tell them what you need.
First, grab Audacity. And not only is it free, it is open source.
Woot!
Oh, yeah, it's audacity.sourceforge.net.
.net or .com, I don't remember. But everybody knows SourceForge. You can find it.
Exactly. Just search for Audacity, and you'll find it. And, of course, they have, I think they've got Windows, Mac, and Linux clients. I'm doing everything on Windows. Slip told me he does in the now all on Linux. So if you need help making a show on Linux, get in touch with him.
But for the most part, it is the same software, different platform.
Yeah, I don't know if he uses Audacity, but he knows Linux in and out, and he also does a great show. So if you got questions there, talk to Slip. Slipmo.net?
Slipnet.org.
Slipnet.org, yeah, that's it. And the show's in the now. So, we're both doing it on Windows using Audacity. Audacity 1, stay away from the new beta. And it works great. And how about this? We'll talk about the software.
Was that your Porky Pig impression or what?
And then, yes, it is.
We'll
talk about the software, and then we'll go through the process. Does that sound good?
Software and process sounds great. Sounds good. You already mentioned Audacity, of course.
So there's Audacity, and that's what you're going to use to record the show and then to mix it, mix in stuff like your music, any outtakes, stuff like that.
And again, we said earlier, for the most part, once you get the hang of it, after a couple of episodes, you'll be doing this in one take. You'll click record, and Audacity is very simple, very intuitive. We don't need a lesson in that.
Right.
You will click record. You will start your show. You'll follow your show notes, which we need to touch on some content a little bit. And go through with your show. When you're done, you save that file, and you will export that as a WAVE.
Yeah. Well, so you want to talk about the process as we discuss the software?
I think it's probably better, yeah. I think it might be a better format, because they're going to do step-by-step.
Gotcha.
Okay. They're going to do Audacity and record the show in what a proprietary Audacity format.
Right. And it's a .aup file, and here's what I found that works best. So you record the show, you've got the .aup files, tons of them, it's really big, and then you basically export it to a WAVE, and then you're going to convert that WAVE to the MP3s that you want. You'll convert them using a program called a DB Power Amp. It's not open source, but it is free. Again, that's DB, like decibel, Power Amp, and it uses a lame encoder, and it does a great job. And we use...
Now the lame encoder, is also, that's a free encoder. Now, DB PowerAmp has that built in. But
yes.
You can download just the encoder itself. If you wanted to use a different one, once again, you could, but there's no need. These are all free software. And also, I think, just make sure you mention that when you record the show in Audacity, if you want an intro music and outro music and stuff like that, generally, I add that on at the very end. We record the show, and then I go and chop, cut and paste the opening theme music and the closing theme music at the end afterwards, and then export it to WAVE, which is what you were just about to say.
Mm-hmm. And then, I'm sorry. Actually, I just opened Audacity in Linux here.
Okay.
So I was checking it out, because here's why we're using DB PowerAmp. You can actually export things in Audacity. You can actually export the files to MP3. But I found it doesn't do as good a job, and it doesn't have quite the range that DB PowerAmp does. DB PowerAmp, you can tweak everything and just have tons and tons of range, meaning, you know, what compression rates, stuff like that, bit rates. So that's why we use DB PowerAmp. We convert the WAVE into two files, one high and one low, high bit rate, low bit rate.
Well, now make sure that may not be necessary depending on what they're going to do with them.
Yeah, if you're not going to stream, then like on Rant Radio or some other station, then you won't need the high bit rate. You could just compress it into a 1616 or 1611, and then use that for download. You'll probably get about, I think it's like 7 megs an hour, I found, usually.
Yeah, but we both, RFA and Ben Rev Radio, both are at 1616.
Yeah, I think so. I started that because Off the Hook was 1616, I think. And it's got good sound quality. It's not too tinny. And they're manageable, even for people with dial-up.
Yeah, 7 or 8 megs, 9 megs, you know, for if we go over.
Right. And mono.
Yeah, that was the mistake that I made on the first couple episodes. I was putting it in stereo when there was no stereo, so...
Right, that didn't work out too well. Tell you what, can I do it live? This is really stupid. I'm going to do it live. Here's Audacity in Linux. Turn on my stereo.
You're not going to try to record.
Yeah, hold on a second. We're going to record recording... All right, Faye, here we go.
This is going to be a first.
Bin Rev. Hey, this is Duel. I'm on Bin Rev. Oh, yeah, and I'm getting nothing.
Uh-oh.
There were 46 possibly repeated frames. Boy, this is different. What version is this about Audacity? 111. Okay, that's what I've got in here now on my Linux box. And it doesn't work, apparently. Maybe I'll work on that. That'd be rad. Maybe I'll try to record in Linux from now on. We'll see. Okay, sorry about that.
Well, what you were saying that we, for what we do, because we stream via Rant Radio, we convert to two different MP3s. 1616 is the downloadable version, which is about 7 to 10 megs. And it's good quality to listen to download, manageable. But actually, to stream, the high-quality stream that we go is at 56.
Yeah, 5622.
5622.5, right.
Yeah, and you can probably go higher, but, you know.
Well, the music that Rant Radio streams is at 128.
Right.
But we are talking, and music usually needs higher quality. Speech, it doesn't really, it's such a minuscule difference from 56 to 128.
Yeah, and not to mention your bandwidth. You don't want your stream dropping, so.
Right, on an upload, which I'm uploading through DSL, so, you know, the.
Drops like every 10 minutes, which is.
Right, weird. The more lean. Actually, I've been good lately. I don't know if they did something to the server. I had emailed Rant Radio about the server dropping. I don't know if they rebooted it, like I said, and if it's working now, or if
like
I just got lucky.
Curse. I remember that. I'd be listening, and son of a bitch, right there.
10 minutes every time.
It was crazy.
So I don't know if it's just pure luck now that I'm on a good streak with my DSL uploads bandwidth, or if they did actually change, fix something, reboot, whatever.
Yeah, so if you're going to stream, you're going to need cable or DSL.
Right.
And speaking of streaming, the next piece you're going to need is Winamp 2.91. Don't touch 3.
God, do not, whatever you do, even if you're not streaming a show, even if you just want something to listen to your music with, don't get 3.
Exactly. Even if you can wipe your ass with it, don't touch 3. Use 2.91. You know what, even...
If you go to winamp.com, you will see a little link that says previous version or version 2 or something in the upper right corner, I think.
Yeah, if you're using Windows, man, that's the best player there is, so... Yeah. 2.91, and then you also have to grab the DSP plugin, which you can get at shoutcast.com, and it'll tell you how to use it. And if you're going to stream on whatever station, they'll tell you how to use that plugin. And that's it.
Yeah. You know,
that's the technical. And time.
Yeah, the most difficult thing really is content.
Time. Lots and lots of time.
Obviously, at least 1 hour. For the show, if that's what the length of your show is, at least.
And calling in.
Calling, you start chatting, you start, you know, organizing your show notes with people. Say, hey, do we want to talk about this? Do we not want to talk about that? Should we mention so-and-so? You know, squaring some things up like that.
Right.
And making sure that you're both on the same page. You don't want to, you don't want to just be somebody on the other end going, yeah, that sounds good. Oh, yeah, I agree. That doesn't make for good radio, you know? That doesn't make for good radio. So you have to spend time to make show notes.
Right.
And I send show notes every episode, and I know you do the same thing.
You send show novels, dude.
That's a good one. Show novels. You're right. I do. I cut and paste a lot of information into my notes.
Plug.
They're nice and organized. Listen, more is better. It's thorough. I prefer to think of myself as thorough.
Yeah, just swallowed a fucking bug, dude.
You've got to be kidding me.
No, I'm not kidding you, dude.
I think...
There's a little fly or something. Tiny little bug flying around.
Oh, my God. Every time you and I are on...
Shit hole.
Every time...
That's good protein.
Every time you and I are on the radio, there's a protein in the mouth joke there, but I'm not going
to. Dude, I just swallowed a goddamn.
I'm going to leave this in, too, because.
That's fucked up.
Every time you and I do a show together, no matter what show it is, we always have a new radio first.
I just swallowed a motherfucking bug.
Oh, you said it! You said the F word!
Oh, fucking God. That is fucked up.
Oh, okay. Normally.
That was messed up.
You know what? Normally, this would be the point where we stop and edit out, but because that was so funny, I've got to leave that.
I do not want this edit. I don't care, fuck.
You bug-eating bastard.
Fucking A. That is messed up. That is so messed up.
Oh, man.
My fucking luck.
Oh, man. You know what? From that, let's close out that topic. I think we covered everything.
Yeah, I think
having notes, having material to work on. But don't be afraid to stray from it and eat a bug every now and then.
Yeah, exactly. You know?
Seriously, have fun with the show.
Exactly.
Don't be afraid to laugh. Don't edit out your jokes. Leave them in there. Who cares? It gives us something to laugh at. And
that happens.
You know,
it's going to make good radio, I'm telling you, man. We've had
it really is.
Freaking disasters on RFA.
That turned out to be
hilarious, man.
Taking protein shots in the mouth, practical jokes on
the
air.
So,
and you know what? And let's go back to what I put this at the top of the notes of, you know, I like doing the show, and I really like doing the show, and I think you'll agree with me on these. If not, by all means, tell me. But one of the things I like about doing this show is, yes, it takes time to do up show notes and to do research and to hit topics, but it makes me learn more about every one of those topics that we cover.
True.
You know, I do research and I figure out how things work and why they work, and I learn out of this. So it's not just putting on a show for, you know, my ego or just to have a show for no reason or just because, you know, another hack. No, I enjoy it because I learn from it, and, you know, and I hope others do too, but, you know, it's just, there is something in it for me. You know, and not only learning from doing the research, but from other guests. I would never have known how to eat a bug if I didn't have Duel on the show.
Yeah,
you know?
I'll teach anyone.
Really, we have special guests all the time that come on, and I mean, mute. Just, you know, when we were talking about the RF stuff last week,
yeah.
I mean, wow, I mean, that was just, I knew some of that stuff, but not to the detail, you know. I learn stuff on the show every week from the other guests.
He schooled us on ham radio stuff once or twice. So
mm-hmm.
It's awesome. It's awesome. We had Fiend last show, and you know,
and we have artists that come on and talk about their motivation and their mindset.
Those are my
and
favorite
training.
Shows. And if you know what, it's just going to be it'll be enriching and rewarding, especially those shows where we get the artists on. That is just because mm-hmm. that's a whole other world, a whole other mindset, you know.
Right.
And that's stuff like that, you know, when you get Meme on, when you get Logan 5, that's what makes it worthwhile.
And those are the episodes where I find myself sitting back going, yeah, uh-huh, right, I agree, you know, because I'm amazed. I'm, you know, practically listening to them do a show, and I'm just a listener,
yeah.
You know. I just happen to be recording it.
Yeah.
And, you know, one other thing that I like that I've tried to do with Ben Rev from episode one, and, you know, everybody knows how my feelings on the RAA and how they just...
No.
Put out there, I'm not going to use the F word, how they put out this bubblegum crap and stuff like that. There's a lot of artists out there, Strom Kern, I know a favorite of yours,
yeah.
And a lot of independent artists that, too many to name, that I try to pick a different artist, some different tracks to end every show with. And these are people that are struggling, they want to get signed, they may not necessarily be struggling, but they're trying to get signed, they're trying to get their name out. You know, the RAAA is not going to give them the time of the day unless they're, you know, a little 16-year-old blonde, you know, showing their belly button ring and all that good stuff.
Yeah.
So I go out, well, not that there's anything wrong with it, except I'm just going to go on a record and say Christina Aguilera is a dirty, slutty little bitch. But anyway, back to this. I go out and I try to find different artists, different independent artists, and I get permission from every one of them. I have not had a single person turn me down.
Cool.
When you tell them that you're wanting to put it out there, I put a link to them on the site, benrev.com, of course. Put a link to their site so you can download it and get their music. And most of them are glad to have another outlet because the RIAA doesn't give it to them. Clear Channel sure as heck doesn't give it to them. So that's something I like to do personally. I really, really feel that that's a service to the community and a service
that's
to
very
the music.
Cool.
I really
that's
like
very
doing
cool.
that. So. And there's some good stuff.
I'm so lazy, I do that too.
You know, I usually wait till the end, but tonight's closing music is Rockwell. Great. I'll re-pimp him at the end. But another great song that, you know, I sit here and tap my feet along with it. And, you know, I was telling you before we started recording, Strom Kern I've been listening to lately because you guys mentioned it on the show. So, you know, that's the way to get the word out there. And you know, again, it's part of the binary revolution.
Exactly.
I mean, I don't know if it's becoming cliche that we say it all the time, but this is another world. We are creating a new revolution, a new way to do everything. We don't have to be spoon-fed Clear Channel. We don't have to be spoon-fed that crap in the, you know, in the CDs and the stores and stuff like that. We don't have to go to the mall to buy our music anymore. This is a new world and a new revolution. I'm not going to go on that bandwagon right now.
Viva la revolution!
Viva la revolution! Actually, we would be remiss if we didn't talk on one big topic this week. The biggest news this week was Blaster.
Who?
Blaster. I don't know if you got hit with this worm, the Blaster worm.
No, never heard of it.
Yeah, right.
Just kidding. By the way, I did a show to hear myself talk.
Oh, well.
Yeah, when something like that hits CNN, you know it's pretty big. And it was pretty big. And yes, I did experience it. But you know what I did? Because some things in life that you have to do, like you have to have a Windows partition maybe at your job, right? So, yeah, of course it gets hit with the worms. You have no control over it. So, you know, what do? You just boot over your Linux side and you're fine. You get your email, everybody's crying. That's what freaking happened.
Yeah, it was hilarious. I was basically watching everyone run around because we are a total Windows shop. We have no choice. So everybody's running around. First of all, you know, this vulnerability was reported a month before this happened.
At least.
I had already patched my machine.
Yes.
So I was just sitting there chilling, watching the support people, because I'm a programmer. I don't have to mess with that stuff. I keep my own box up to date just because, you know, I'm not dumb. Well, a little bit. But anyway, I'm sitting there laughing, no jokes, laughing, while these people are running around panicked. You know, and the person in the office right next to me says, "What the hell is this?" And I turn and look, and I see this countdown from 60 seconds telling him that you better save your work because I'm rebooting your machine. It was hilarious. And I just started laughing, and I showed him how to fix it, and, you know, everything was honky-dory. But they spent the next couple days, because the logistics, a lot of people who haven't worked in a large company or a large IT department may not appreciate how difficult that really is for an IT department to handle. When you have thousands of computers out there, and first of all, if they were really on the ball, if we were really on top of their game, and I probably am pissing everybody off my job if they hear this, if they're really on top of their game, this would have been updated a month ago like I did. They would have rolled this out. They would have used some kind of, they should have pushed this down to the clients. But that's neither here nor there. When the time came, this thing hit all over, and it is a logistic nightmare to go out and fix these things. It really is. You've got phone calls coming in to the help desk about their computers restarting, and everybody's going to describe it differently because they don't understand what's going on. And my computer just stopped. My computer turned itself off. My email's not coming in. Why can't I log on? You know, they don't understand. So you've got this giant cluster blank. See, I'm controlling myself. You're the bad guy.
No, I'd say to Colin, I'd say, "Hey, shut the fuck up." Linux bitch, that's what I would say.
Oh, so they spent...
No, you know what? Here's the thing. If I just had a Windows shop, right, like most big companies, right, they're in bed with Microsoft, they're scratching, somebody's back. You know, and all I had to do was watch out for Windows vulnerabilities, and I know there's lots of them, but if I had, of course, if you've got thousands of computers, I guarantee you've got the resources to manage them, right? I would think it would be simple. I would think it would be child's play. If all I had to worry about were Windows machines and the shit that runs on them, I would think, man, that's no problem. You've got the resources, right? I could handle that.
Well, you'd think so. You'd think you have the resources.
Oh.
But universities notoriously are lax on security. That's where they skimp on their budget. That's where they don't put money in. They do not have people who do that, what needs to be done, who do those kind of things. They
right.
do not exist, unfortunately.
Yeah, it's seen as an expense. Yeah.
So anyway, August 12th, 13th, system shut down worldwide. A lot of, you know, pretty big effect. It really was. There was a patch, like I said, available. But when everybody gets hit with this once, of course, you know, this gangbang across the world to Windows Update. Everybody's hitting it trying to fix their system. So in a weird way, there was a little bit of a denial of service unintentionally because so many people are hitting the site wanting to get updates.
Now, I heard there actually was. Now, of course, the worm was rumored to launch denial of service against WindowsUpdate.com. This is separate. There was a DOS attack on Microsoft.com.
Well,
related to the worm. I did hear that.
Well, actually, I'm going to talk about that because it could have been so well, but they missed it by that much. I'm gonna give a little public service announcement on this too, because even if you fix that vulnerability, even if you apply that patch from Microsoft, the worm may still exist on your computer. You've just disabled it. you may still be infected by that thing. You need to update your virus checkers. You need to go download. They have tools specifically to look for this that will find little remnants of this. It may not be doing anything, but it may be sitting on your computer, and you may just be a zombie. You may just still be carrying that thing. It won't do anything, but you still want to clean that off. So go out, update your virus checkers, which I'm assuming, I'm pretty sure by now we'll have it in there.
Hey, can I bust some conspiracy theory right now?
By all means. We love conspiracy theories.
Yeah, do we? What if? Now, I've heard this before, that, you know, the hardcore, the underground, right, those hackers who will not be named launch faint attacks, right? They'll launch an attack on some site just as a fake attack.
A red herring.
Exactly, and then do something else, right? And then launch some stealthy attack on another target.
Well,
what if?
Redirection.
What's that?
It's called redirection.
Exactly. What if somebody used, and I'm not saying this, you know, particular worm, but what if somebody used a worm like this to throw people off totally? I mean, everybody in the IT, you know, security field is focusing on this worm. Well, you're doing something else. Something more insidious. Something that will give you more power. Really, what if? You know, what if, yeah, oh, we're going to launch a DOS attack on Microsoft and blah, 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 and, oh, yeah, go look over here, woo-hoo, right? Mm-hmm. Well, they're doing something else. What if?
Nothing in my hand, nothing up my sleeve.
Exactly. So, never know.
Well, and all the more reason, like I said, you could be a zombie. You still have remnants of it there, and if there is a second payload or something that they haven't researched, you know, that's how you get bit.
Yeah.
Speaking of second payload, the second part of this, phase two of this, is what you mentioned. It was going to launch a denial-of-service attack on August 16th, which was this past Saturday, was going to launch a denial-of-service attack on the Microsoft update site. So, like I said earlier, it's kind of funny or ironic that there was an unintentional DOS on it because so many people went to it. Well, 3 days later on the 16th, this thing was set to attack WindowsUpdate.com. Well, if it was so close, it was so close to working. Unfortunately, they just didn't do their homework very well. They didn't think it through. They didn't. I don't know that you could test it because then you're risking getting caught when you try to test something like this. But they didn't think it out. It was kind of sloppy. They didn't do the research. They didn't footprint properly. I wrote an article on footprinting. Binary Revolution 1.1. I swear to God, I don't make this stuff up. If they would have footprinted properly, and that not necessarily from my article, but that was just a little pimp. But if they would have done their research properly, they would have realized that WindowsUpdate.com is not the site to attack. WindowsUpdate.com redirects to WindowsUpdate.microsoft.com. So this second payload of this attacked a site that did nothing more than redirect people. Guess what? They shut the site off. That's all they did. You could have attacked the right target, and you could have had another phase two to this that would have been also pretty devastating, but you didn't think it through, you didn't footprint properly, and you hit the wrong fucking target. Damn it, I said the F word. Ugh!
Yeah.
I almost made it, damn it!
That's right, baby.
Oh, well, fuckity fuck fuck. Now that I said it, I might as well let a couple out. The F bomb, baby.
Ain't a bug, it's all out, man. It's all over.
So over. Yeah, so all they had to do was shut down that redirector, which, again, a few people use anyway. If they would have just hit the right site, they could have had another payload in there, could have had a good step two. And there are going to be copycats coming up soon, I'm sure.
Well, I thought there already was. There's like Lovesan or whatever it is.
Yeah, I think they all pretty much came out back-to-back or at the same time. I'm thinking like in another, I don't know, month, within the next month or so, there's going to be another one that...
Probably. Well, and of course, we'll just recently, the worm that's fixing it.
Right. Well, yeah. I don't... You know what? We're sitting here telling everybody how to make a show, and I committed a big error.
What?
I didn't start timing the show. I know.
I have no idea.
I have no idea either. So, I think we're close.
Oh, yeah. Everybody, time your show.
Yeah, that's another tip. Make sure if you're going to stay within a one-hour show, we never stay in an hour, though, seriously.
Nah, who cares?
I don't think I've ever been under an hour. I mean, we always go well over. That's why I got my time slot with a half-hour window, just in case, a half-hour buffer.
We've been yakking for about 45.
Yeah, I can tell on the speakerphone we're at a minute, we're an hour 10 minutes that we've been talking, but we haven't been recording that whole time, so...
Right.
Let's touch this one next topic you see there. I've been bumping this for a while, and this is, I know you love this term. As a matter of fact, why don't you read that? Why don't you talk about it? Do you have your show notes in front of you?
Yeah, I do. And you're talking about cyber terrorism.
Ooh, I have goosebumps.
Everybody be afraid.
Ooh.
Cyber terrorism.
Everybody's fear-inducing word. Of course, what is cyber terrorism? We still don't have a definition. We don't know what that is. But I thought this was kind of funny. This is actually about a month or so old now. I keep bumping it from topic, and we're finally touching it here. But we are getting from Seoul, South Korea, which is a communist country, very poor, very, very poor. They have developed, supposedly, a cyber terrorism team or cyber terrorism squad. They're training people to be cyber terrorists from a South Korean military officer said Friday.
Aigo! Korean for holy moly.
You made that up.
No, I'm serious.
Say that again.
Aigo.
Anybody out there, confirm, send me an email and confirm whether he just said something like...
Yeah.
I can
speak some Korean.
Yeah, right.
I'm serious.
All right, if we have any Korean listeners, please drop it on me. Come back and tell me that he just said something nasty about me or something like that.
If I said, like, gisagi or buji or something like that, that'd be bad, but I wouldn't say that. The only thing I would say to you, Stang, was 안녕하세요. That's all I would say, which is a polite way of saying hello.
I was going to say, now you're saying bad things. I have to have somebody tell me what it was.
That is polite. Okay.
Anyway, I thought this was kind of a, I don't know about funny, silly, dumb article, I guess, a dumb point. But you can't teach hacking. You can't teach cyber terrorism. I mean, you can train or teach people to be script kiddies. Is that what they're insinuating here, do you think? Are they basically saying we're teaching people how to, you know, use back orifice to attack United States computers or something like that?
Well, here's the thing. Any country that has the capabilities to create nuclear weapons, which they purportedly do have,
right,
probably has the ability to write buffer overflows and format string vulnerabilities. So I think they could actually, you know, they could create cyber terrorists. They could create people that could create vulnerabilities. I believe so. I don't think they're smart enough not to just create a bunch of script kiddies.
First of all, this article even points out, ironically, that this country is so poor and there aren't, like, people in the community or in the citizens of this country have little or no internet access.
Yeah, they have
little
or no.
How do you train hackers with people who don't have internet access? I mean, isn't that kind of important that if you want to practice hacking...
I know, come on now, let's think a little bit here. You're right, they have little or no internet access. They have little or no food, for crying out loud.
Exactly.
I guarantee you, they can get some type of access for people to do things. Here's the thing, they can create all they want. They can, we've got cyber terrorists in South Korea, can say, they've got cyber terrorists, whatever. I think the whole idea of cyber terrorism is a sham, personally. I think, it better be. I mean, if we're that vulnerable...
Let's put it into perspective of what we just talked about with the blaster. I mean, we saw that was one of the biggest. I mean, I don't know if I should use the word devastating because it wasn't devastating. I mean, come on, now the power outage was more devastating than the stupid blaster virus. But
it
was
devastating. Devastating how?
I said more so than the blaster virus. It wasn't devastating, you know, catastrophic levels.
Right.
You know, but it was worse than the blaster virus. If you put it into perspective, that's what I'm saying. The blaster virus had a pretty wide area of effect, and, I mean, can cyber terrorism top that? That's what I'm saying. Let's put it into perspective. Can you beat the blaster virus?
Can I put this in perspective?
Please do.
If anything, I think people are scared of losing their convenience. Oh my God, I have no cable TV because the North Korean cyber terrorists have knocked it out. Oh no, I cannot get cash from my ATM so I can go buy my Starbucks. Who gives a rat's ass? If everything goes away, right? If we go back to the frickin' Stone Age, guess what? We'll live. It might be a lot more fun, too. Who knows?
Well, you never know.
I love technology, and I love computers, and I love using the internet. But I I could live without it. If something happened like that, I think I'd be okay. I think everybody else would be too. Maybe, you know, I read a lot already, but hey, maybe people would read books, right? Maybe people would associate with other people more, like we hackers do already. Thank you very much.
Yeah, overturn that myth.
What's that?
I said, let's overturn that myth.
Yeah, exactly. So I really think this whole cyber terrorism thing, you know, the banking system was shut down and the stock market won't function. And, you know, I could give a rat's ass if the stock market functions or not.
The key word in your sentence is I. You. Sure, you could give a rat's ass. I love my computer. I love playing games. I love hacking. But, yeah, my world's not going to end. But unfortunately, I mean, I'm going to miss American Idol, but you know, I can live without it, seriously. But let's be honest, the sheep of the world cannot. I'm sorry, it's convenience, but people are accustomed to convenience. And if you take that away from them, yeah, I mean, it's not devastating, but people will think so when they can't have, you know, some people don't know any better. I don't know where, which university puts out the list every year of college freshmen and what college freshmen know. Do you know what I'm talking about? There's a list that says college freshmen have never known what a vinyl album is. They've only known CDs, college freshmen coming in this year. You ever see that list before?
Yes.
Think about those sometimes and how these people have become accustomed to a different lifestyle. It's easy for us to say because, you know, we're up in our... older ages, I guess, is our polite way to put it. So we're kind of from a different era, believe it or not. But there are kids who don't know anything but driving themselves to school or being driven to school by friends. What are they going to have to do if they walk somewhere? That's unheard of.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it's unheard of for people to walk. You know, if nothing else, they'll skateboard or bike or something else. I mean, it's unheard of to walk.
Yeah.
So, you know, people, it's not that so much devastating when you put it in the grand scheme of things. But it is devastating to a particular lifestyle, which is very broad. So in that aspect, yes, attacking that comfort level, no, I don't like the word. I'm not defending the word cyber terrorism that way.
No.
But in perspective, yes, a lot of people are going to be affected, some more than others, I guess is the way to put it.
But that, you know, honestly, I think that's what people are, that's what they're using. That's this whole cyber terrorism thing is just playing on people's fears of losing their convenience, right?
And people are accustomed to that convenience.
You know, the North Korean cyber terrorists are not going to release all the water from all the dams, shut down all of our power, shut down banking, and, you know, shut down your epilady, okay? It's not going to happen.
Well, A, your epilady is going to have RFID tag, and they're tracking you everywhere you go. B, the water's probably all contaminated with all kinds of diseases and SARS and shit like that. They'd be doing us a favor by emptying that out. And C, what was your other C?
I don't remember, but I just...
They'd be doing us a favor in some ways.
Yeah, I read an article that just came middle of the road. It's like, not, you know, cyber terrorism is not what the, you know, the fear-inducing media makes it out to be, but it's, you know, it's probably not, you know, something to just forget about, you know. I'm sure there are criminals in other countries that, you know, are probably state-funded, nation-state-funded, that want to do bad things using the networks that sprawl across this planet.
Well, and on the other hand, do you debate the fact that we probably have the same thing?
Of course we do.
You know?
Of course we do. And guess what? It's going to exist. It'll always exist. But to slap cyber terrorism on it is a little silly. Wow. You know what it is? It's just intelligence of foreign nations.
It's a buzzword.
That's all. Yeah, exactly.
It's a media buzzword.
You got intelligence from foreign nations. That's all it is. And we've got it too. So just
sounds cool. It sounds scary.
But the South Koreans said it, so, you know, it exists, but don't worry about it.
You know what, that's a great summation. That is a great summary. I am going to say, what do you think about this comment, though, and I don't know, this is really worth debating, but to a certain extent, okay, some people are spoiled on convenience, a lot of people. Is that really wrong? I mean, our country has evolved to the point where we can have convenience and we can have luxuries. Is that necessarily wrong and bad? I mean, somebody, you know, would be devastated by not having their car to drive or their internet access. Is that really so wrong? Are people bad people for being that dependent on, You know, it's a different lifestyle, a different time frame.
I just saw a piece. Oh, Mute's calling me. Can I answer it?
Sure, why not?
All right, okay. Hey, we're recording the show right now.
You little biatch.
Which show? Which show is this? Bin Rev. What?
Winter Mute in the house.
Winter Mute in the house. Hold on. You're on my cell, and I'm recording a stink right now on the other phone, so I got one to each ear. And you got a message for
yeah,
everybody?
Yeah, asking for his message for the night.
Okay, good. All right, man. All right. Yeah, that sounds good. Later.
And for the listeners, Mute is out and about working on his edumacation. Very, very proud of him. So, yeah, he's not on the show tonight because he had more important things in life. Again, putting things in perspective, education.
Yeah, believe me, it is worthwhile in the end. So yeah. I saw a piece on a new show about a service at a ballpark. You go and see a ball game, and you can use your cell phone and call up the concession stand. Charge food to your credit card and have it delivered to your seat.
That's not convenience. That's lazy.
What's the frickin' difference? I mean, come on now. We have a television channel about food. Where else in the world?
Dude, Iron Chef rocks. I don't know what you're talking about.
Probably just a show. I doubt there's a whole channel dedicated to food in Japan. I love Iron Chef as well. It's a great show, but we have a food network. That's absurd. I barely want to watch Iron Chef.
Well, it's
let alone an entire network about food. No wonder we're all so fat.
Well, who the hell wants to watch the Golf Channel all day long either?
I mean, dude.
But it's custom, you know, it's not for everybody.
Oh, yes, we do have the means, but it doesn't mean we should go through with it, okay? We've got the means to do this. We doesn't know.
I'm going to argue with you on this one because... You know, I would fucking love, I said the F word again, I would freaking love to have the Hack Channel. We're making Hack TV, I would love to have a hacking channel. But somebody on some other radio show is probably saying the same thing. They're probably going, why do we need the hacking channel?
Well, we're talking about convenience. We're talking about, we have the wherewithals in this country, and what do we do with it? We make it possible for people to sit on their fat ass and order food at a ballpark, right? We have the means to do a lot of things, but we waste it on a network for food, okay?
Well,
it's convenient, right? I want to learn about, souffles and tiramisu, so I'll watch the Food Network, right? No.
I don't know where that has to do with convenience, but...
Well, what it means is we have abundance. We have... we've got resources, we've got money, we've got power, and what do we do with it? We waste it on quote convenience, you know. And the Food Network is just another, it epitomizes this waste, right?
Yeah.
And waste is also convenience.
Well, in light of us probably being over time, I'm just going to summarize it and say less waste, more porn.
Amen,
brother.
Amen.
All right. Well, even though Mute just called in, I think I'm going to give Mute some shouts. Go out there, get that education. Go do what you got to do. Show will be here when you get back. So we'll try to record next week with Mute again. If you got feedback, letters@binrev.com. Make sure you listen to Radio Freak America.
Thank you.
Closing music tonight, like I said earlier, it is from Rockwell. It's called I Heard You Wanna Ride. So, you know how we end it, even though you pretend like you don't know. We'll see you next week. Same hack time.
Same hack channel.
Peace out.
Rockwell Entertainment. Chick-a-chick. Yeah, come on. I heard something.
I heard you wanna ride. turn off the radio, man. Hold on. I gotta take a piss. Oh, yeah, we gotta ride.